This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
Hey, y'all, you want to look at my 10-gallon hat or whatever and go cowboy hunting? I don't know. Like
cowboy hunting? That's what it is.
To episode 106 of The Unwind, a show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Stellar.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
Got him!
We remembered all our names. This is amazing.
We know our names!
Yeah!
So after a long intermission, we decided we'd come back to talk about something we've never talked about before, VR.
How's Mr. Lucky doing? Not so lucky right now.
Well, he's got hundreds of millions. So,
well, he's
and
got
I'm sure Oculus 25
will probably
pay
million
his
less
fine.
Now.
So, well, we weren't going to start with this, but the Oculus, the Oculus lawsuit, well, has come to an end for this current trial. So, they were charged, or I don't know how you want it. The settlement was, the judgment, yeah. Not a settlement, yeah. Was $500 million. I believe, if
out
I remember
of
correctly.
$6 billion that they were trying to get.
Yeah, it's funny. They kept upping
they
it. They're like, fuck it.
They're like, no, we want $2 billion. Well, four. And then we're going to add two more. So
and
six.
To put it in context, the acquisition of Oculus by Facebook was about $2 billion. We talked about it earlier. There's an extra $1 billion there. But so first they wanted the entire price of the acquisition. Then they wanted $2 billion in punitive damages. So I'm like, oh, this is crazy. But they got $500 million. If I remember correctly, like $50 million is going to be charged to Lucky and Oculus, $150 to Brandon Uribe, who's their CEO, and then the rest.
Carmack.
I guess. No, I don't think
Carmack's getting yeah. 50. I think.
I don't think he owes anything.
No, I think Carmack and Lucky had the same. I think it was 50 each.
Mm. Either way, I would assume Facebook is going to handle some of this, or somehow it's going to work
well,
out
that
way.
They're going to appeal it.
Yeah, they're also going to appeal
it. So it's probably
going to
go
lower. It's certainly not over. I think it ended up being decided that they broke the NDA, but they didn't steal secrets. And so that was the conclusion, and that's why it's not the full. But it's interesting to see. I don't think as much came out about Oculus as I expected to come out. But I don't know. Interesting nonetheless, that's over. But in more positive news about VR, so Resident Evil 7 came out. And even just as a side note, apparently Resident Evil 7 is a really good game. Return to form, especially considering how bad 6 was and Revelations and all these games they put out.
Paul, my brother, wants to play this game, and I will not watch him play this.
Oh, this is scary.
Looks scary as
shit. So that is the thing. Like, more than bringing it back to it being fun again, like, I think Resident Evil 5 was fun, but it wasn't that scary. This is apparently really scary. I think there's less gameplay. Like, it's not, I haven't played it, but as far as I know, I think it's less like inventory management stuff, but I've heard it's actually scary. It's set in Louisiana. But anyway, besides it being a good game, it is in for PlayStation VR. And I feel like this is one of the first, it's like, full VR games. Like, a game where you're supposed to play for a lot of hours. Yeah. It is a AAA title, and it is it's a full game. It's a Resident Evil game.
I didn't
game.
Realize that. I thought it was like a separate experience from the
no,
game that was VR. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And apparently they've done some interesting things with it. And it is good. And people, you can play it for the full, and it's a lot scarier in VR. It kind of makes sense because they do a lot of tropes that
jump
make
scares
sense.
And
yeah, well,
pulling the camera and all that
well,
stuff.
They actually, my understanding is, like I said, I haven't played this, so this is just reading about it. What makes Resident Evil 7 good is less about jump scares and more about the creepiness factor. Like, you hear a lot of noises, so that's really important. Maybe you'll see like a person get dragged away or something, and then you have to go there. Like PT, it was less about jump scares. It was way more about creepiness. Like, I still remember how scared I was to walk down that hallway.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, just as a side note, like, this is, or not a side note, but to me, this is probably the first AAA built from scratch as a VR game. It's not only VR, and I think that was a smart business move on their part, because there aren't that many PlayStation VR headsets out. But it's good to see that that's happening, because you know, we need more of this. And we've talked about this basically every show. VR is one of those things where it's not selling that well, but developers are still behind it in certain ways, because I think this is one of those things people want to make it work, but nobody's really figured out too many ways to make it work. Horror is definitely a genre that seems perfect for something like VR. And I think it's cool, and it's good that it's
that
a good game.
I can be terrified and throw up at the same time.
Oh, I'd actually watch that.
So what I read was, so a lot of people were saying in the demo that originally came out, they were getting nauseated really quickly. And to alleviate that, and you can turn this off, but all movement in the game, like when you turn, it's done in like 30 degree increments. So if you hit like left, I don't know if it snaps or it slowly moves that way, but it's apparently that's like 100% less nauseating than actually having full control of the movement. Like a lot of people specifically
with the
said,
joystick.
Yeah,
yes.
A lot of people specifically said when imagine with your mouse, you're just flicking
no,
around.
No, I'm saying, well, but you can still move your head and it tracks, yeah. Is that just turning your body around in the game?
I think it's your whole body. I don't think it's separated like that, but I'm not 100% sure. Because I just listened to some podcasts. People clearly said I was nauseous the moment I tried it, and then in the demo, and then when I tried the game version, yeah. And by default, they have that 30-degree snapping motion. It made all the difference, and I wasn't nauseous at all. So, I don't know. It's cool to see that there's more investment in it, and it sounds like it's a fun game. So, maybe I'll get it when it's $10. Also, it is a PSVR exclusive now. I believe it's on Windows, though, so I would assume this is a timed exclusive for PSVR.
Is it?
Maybe
they
it'll come
said
to
that,
Oculus.
Though, right?
They haven't said this.
Okay.
So I would tell Paul to get it on
I no way in hell I'm touching that game.
But I don't know if he wants to try it on VR later.
Nope.
Oh, I'm not trying that. I will watch people play that.
Just we're going to have to make some bet sometime, and if Rob loses it, he has to
You're
play
gonna
some
You're
going to
come in like while I'm sleeping, and I'll wake up, and the Rift will be on me in the game, and I'll like wake up in it.
Freak out.
This is my nightmare.
So, more on video games. So, $M, also known as Microsoft. So, one big thing they've been trying to push for is to have their dashboard system be smoother. Because one criticism has been they've changed it a lot, but it's still kind of choppy. I don't own one, Rob. Maybe you could say. When I tried it, I do remember it being a bit slow.
I don't think it's any slower than PlayStation's.
Either way,
I think it's also laid out way better than PlayStation's. But
well, okay, maybe we'll have that quick debate. I think.
No, I don't want to have that debate.
No, we don't have to go on too much. But you made that point, and this is the weird thing. I have really enjoyed, and this actually gets into this topic. So, okay, I should just say they're getting rid of the snapping feature,
yes.
Which, if you don't know, it's a feature where you can basically put an app on the side. So, A common use, or maybe a use, would be either like music on the side or Twitter on the side, so you can play a game and have another program running. Apparently, they're getting rid of snapping on the Xbox to improve performance generally. And the sad thing about this was one of the more unique features that sounded cool. Yeah. I don't know if people actually used it, though. So, this might be a.
So, I think the coolest use for me was having chat on the side.
Yeah,
if you were like in a party and having that chat,
like with Twitch and then, stuff. Like if you,
yeah. So
that.
Like, but now it's kind of like baked in because like with PlayStation,
yeah,
you can still
true.
they figured out a way to display when you're streaming on Twitch all the comments that are coming in anyway. But that said, like I used Snap a handful of times. I think I'm pretty sure background music wasn't a thing when they launched, so the only way to have background music playing while doing something else was to have it snap, so I used some of it then.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Like when I was watching TV, when I had cable and I was running it through the Xbox, occasionally I would snap something to the side. They had like
you had an attempt to see how many senses you could affect at the same time. You have TV, some music playing, you have your tablet on.
So the probably the coolest use that I saw, not demoed but like advertised, was during like football games and stuff. They'd have the scores and stats on the side because they had a partnership with NFL. Mm-hmm. But not being an American football fan, that never came
useful
to fruition for me. But like if I was watching a soccer game and I can have it pinned, so like the NBC Sports app, when you're watching it in on the site, has that sidebar of like possession and fouls and like running stats of all that stuff on the side. Like that would be awesome if I could watch live TV and have like pulled in sports stats.
You know, it's funny because on the NBC Live Extra website, that's what they do essentially. Before you do full screen, it just shows the stats on the right. And it is actually funny that I always full screen it because I just want to see. But anyway, this was one of those interesting things. I do think it suffered from not enough developers figured out the best way to use it, and then other people like Twitch and stuff
Windows
integrated.
10, yeah.
But like you said, so you brought up the fact that you think it's laid out better. And I think the general consensus is actually that the PS4 is better. And I think the main reason
why...
Well,
they're wrong, Sean.
No, so with... I have said this previously that one thing I really liked about Microsoft was that they were doing a lot of interesting stuff. Like, they clearly iterated on their dashboard and they tried to make it better. The Xbox 360, I mean, they had the Blade. They had like at least three or four major iterations where the PS3 just had the XMB and it was always like that.
Right.
PS4, they've added some cool stuff, like they did add background music, but it's basically the same. But I think the reason why people like the PS4 one better, Microsoft did it as a play, like whatever, Xbox One, this is how you're going to watch TV, this is how you're going to consume media, this is how you're going to play games. And so they built out a system like that. PlayStation wasn't. And admittedly, if I'm in the PS4, literally I just turn it on and it lists my last game right there and I hit right to go to the other games. Don't get me wrong, if I want to go through my library, it gets annoying, but it's funny because it shows you the last 10 games and chances are that's all I'm going to be doing. Whereas the Xbox tries to do so much more and it gets more confusing. And honestly, if it was the center of my media life, maybe it'd be better. But I think because that side of it failed,
so
it made
funny,
it feel more confident.
It's funny because I switched and now my TV media is actually in my PlayStation and not my Xbox anymore.
Yeah, that's funny.
With PlayStation View. But what I like about Xbox is being able to pin things and that you also have... like new things from the store and things like that on the home screen. Whereas PlayStation, if I want to find anything about new games, I have to go into the store and look for stuff. For like a good example is when I want to know whatever the games with gold is or the PlayStation Plus game.
They're annoying about that.
It's really hard to find the free PlayStation Plus games. Like, it's three menus deep by the time you get in there. So, like,
the store is some weirdly slow app.
Yes.
Like, and it, oh, by the way, if you go back to your PS3, it's way worse on the PS3. I don't know why
but
it's
like,
so bad.
But, like, I see what you're saying in that the majority of time, I'm probably going to come back and play one or two or three apps or games at a time. Like, I'm probably not going to go 10 games back in my library. But, you know, being able to pin certain games, you can kind of get around with that anyway. And I'm pretty sure it does show you the last couple things on the Xbox menu.
Well, with pinning, it's cool, but chances are except for multiplayer games, you probably play a game to completion and then you probably don't really play it again. Or maybe you won't play it for a while, so pinning makes more sense for like the YouTube app than it does.
Like
which,
said,
by the way,
like
you
I'm,
can't do
I'm
it for the YouTube
sure
app.
I'm pretty sure, as soon as you open it, the last app you had launched is the main tile. So if
that
it's
makes
the
sense,
last
yeah.
thing, you're jumping right back into it anyway. I mean, we don't have to do
yeah,
that.
Either way, I...
You're wrong. I'm right. It looks better. Tiles are always winning. It's fine.
It honestly, it goes to the bigger story. And the next quickfire topic I want to talk about goes into this too, where Microsoft is doing, in my opinion, far more ambitious stuff. Like we've talked about this more than one time, backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
So another thing, they just announced that Gears of War is going to be cross-platform, meaning PC and Xbox players can play versus each other. I would assume you have to play on the... on a controller on the PC, or maybe since it's Gears of War and it's less snapshotty, it's okay. I've heard of games where you can do cross-platform and if you're on the PC, you're locked to the controller just to make it an even playing ground. Hmm. But first off, this is awesome. I want this to happen more. Like, there's so many times Rob and I, we talk about this where we want to play it on PC, but other friends are on PS4. So you have to get it on PS4. So this cross-platform play, and this is related to Microsoft doing universal apps. So I assume it's, since it's a first-party game, I assume it's a universal app.
I think they
app.
Said all their first-party games are going to be cross-platform.
So basically, if you buy Gears of War, you can have it on your PC. This is all really cool shit. However, if you have a PS4, somebody pointed this out in January alone, Resident Evil 7 is multi-platform, but if you have VR, right now it's only on PlayStation VR. Nioh, which comes out like next week.
Are you getting that?
Probably eventually.
It's like Ninja
I don't
Dark Souls, man.
Yeah. it was, I played the demo, and by the way, the demo, like, I never beat it. It's like
you died
three
like five
or four
times
hours
opening
long.
It up, right?
You have to go real quick. But you have to dodge when you open the game, but at the start menu. But it was literally, it felt like, I'm like, am I playing the entire game? Because I played for like 2 hours and I hadn't even faced a boss. It had so much content. But apparently, that's a really good game. There was Tales of Berseria is supposed to be good. Like, my point is, even in this early point, Sony is getting so many more games that are exclusive. And then, unfortunately, like Microsoft, you have Scalebound, which was canceled.
Yep.
One of their really big titles was Quantum Break. And we don't, like... Nobody even talks about Quantum Break.
It came out.
And, you know, it was a, it was from, oh, shoot, what's his name? This is terrible.
The director.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget.
He did Alan Wake and Max Payne. And,
yeah.
Gosh, well, whatever. He was a big name. And so, and it was a really big
forgotten
deal.
Name.
Yeah. And so, unfortunately, Microsoft can't get those games. Yeah, so, yeah. But I respect Microsoft is doing much cooler shit in this space. All those things I just listed, I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah, we still, you know.
Even the Xbox One S, it's better than the Slim, in my opinion.
And Scorpio is still the question mark. We still don't really know what it's going to be.
And I think, like, Scorpio sounds far more ambitious.
If Scorpio can, have they said it can or cannot run Oculus yet? I don't think so, right? They haven't said either way.
If they can do 4K, I don't see why.
If it can do Oculus, though, like, I think that would be pretty huge.
If it can do 4K, I don't see how it wouldn't be able to do, especially considering now an Oculus can run on a 960? Or is it a 1060?
It's like a 470, right? It's like the low end now?
Oh, you mean AMD 4? I thought you meant NVIDIA. I'm like, that's really freaking old.
Yeah,
it might be that. But anyway, that a 960 or whatever can't play in 4K. So if they do achieve 4K, I'm sure it'll be, which is a smart play. Yeah, you get Oculus and you get
right. Plus, like, Windows has, I know we're kind of getting off on a tangent, but Microsoft has this partnership with all these, like, AR things now.
Yeah, because,
like, there's these new headsets,
pushing.
Like five new headsets that are coming out in the short term that are
I don't know where they're going.
I don't know. Like, with this, the whole creative update that's coming out this summer, I think, the next big Windows update. I know there was a big push to have, like,
which
VR.
By the way, that sounds so weird. Just the words creative and Windows, honestly, like, it just seems like the last thing.
Yeah, but look at the Surface.
I totally
studio,
agree.
Man.
The I totally agree. Studios, and I think it's prettier than it used to be.
Oh, man, I want that screen so bad. But anyway, like, there's the whole, like, the idea of AR and VR headsets sharing a space now, which is pretty interesting. So I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff, like you said, going on. I think games-wise, yes, you're right. They're definitely lagging behind as far as exclusives go. But honestly, almost the only game that's coming out this year that I know of that's interesting to me is Mass Effect, and that's all platform. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, and I guess it still, though, feels like, I guess, yeah, you specifically didn't play them, but, like, even if you just list Bloodborne and Uncharted 4,
Jesus,
those
Sean.
Are probably both Game of the Year games.
What, Dark Souls 4 coming out this year? Bloodborne 2?
No, they're doing new IP. I don't know. They talked something about it. Yeah. Do you know what they used to
Death?
Do? They did Armored Core, so they might bring that back and
shit.
Make it Souls-y.
Would you be mad?
Which, by the way,
tired? What? Are you tired of Dark Souls?
Yes.
You want a break?
Yes.
You don't want a new Dark Souls this year?
No.
So I don't have to fucking
I didn't
hear
want Dark Souls
talk
3.
About it? Yeah!
I didn't talk about Dark
Souls. The year without Dark Souls.
By the way, I want Souls games. I just don't want Dark Souls.
No.
I didn't want Dark Souls 3. I was like, we just had a Dark Souls 2.
Armored Souls?
Bloodborne was great. I liked Bloodborne
Armored
more than Dark
Souls
3. But that might be what they do. Do you want me to repeat my
game
order?
That's so ridiculously hard. Not only super technical, but yeah. Ridiculously hard.
Like Quap Souls.
You have to dodge using Quap.
It's like the guy who played Overwatch with bananas or whatever.
What?
You didn't see that?
No. Why do? What is this thing? This will be a topic one day where it's like how the internet world has turned into people doing it in the hardest way. Like, I'm going to be Dark Souls on a Guitar Hero guitar. Or how.
You haven't truly experienced Dark Souls unless you played it on a Guitar Hero guitar, Sean.
And the other YouTube sensation, which is crushing things with different things. Like, one is using hydraulic press, and one is using, what are those, like, water cutters?
Yeah.
Like, just destroying things with different.
Do you see there's a flashlight lightsaber now?
No.
There's a flashlight that you could actually cut stuff with.
Yeah, I see that.
What?
Get with the times, man.
Jesus, that sounds scary. Okay. Let's bring it back, okay? We're not having a YouTube party
that
on
went
this.
Off on a tangent.
So yeah, hopefully Xbox does a little bit better. I think.
Yeah, step it up, Microsoft. Get some games.
I guess we're talking about lots of video games. So the FBI released it was obviously a lot heavily redacted, but released all their information about their Gamergate investigation. From what I understand, they did a poor job of investigating most of it. Brianna Wu, who is the target of a lot of it, was very vocal about it on Twitter, saying you know, I spoke to them several times and gave an account of specific things that happened, and none of that is in this report, showing that it seems like they didn't listen. They did investigate certain things, and go figure, some of the things they investigated, it was juveniles, like it was just kids. Mm-hmm. There was one where they investigated and they came back, and yeah, it was, they found it was a kid, and he admitted to, I think it was Brianna Wu, like calling many, many times under different voices and stuff like that, and it's what you expect. But the one thing, and this, I feel terrible saying this, honestly, but do you think, so let's consider for, first of all, the FBI, they, assuming they generally know what they're doing in that they understand law enforcement, do you think that it makes sense that they didn't investigate a lot of this heavily? Because there is a possibility, and I've been in this situation before, actually, where they might have thought, oh, these are just kids doing it. Yeah. Like, we just know. And it sounds really terrible saying it, but I don't know how, like, they said death threats, but in my opinion, I don't think any of them were valid. But can you really take a death threat, like, not take it seriously? I don't know. I don't know where the middle ground is on this. And clearly the FBI didn't take it seriously. But the only thing I can say, I could imagine, is maybe they realize, like, look, this is just bullshit internet threats. This is probably not anything. And truthfully, as far as I know, nothing what actually happened. So it's a weird situation to be in. But do you guys think they, or where do you think the FBI, especially considering all the other things they have to do, do you think they should go on their gut, or?
I mean, I don't know enough about it. Like, I didn't read the report. I wasn't.
I thought you were FBI.
Super. Well, I am, but I can't talk about it. But I didn't like get super into Gamergate and follow all the coverage a couple years ago. So
don't worry, Gamergate 2 is going to come out under Trump.
So I can't speak intelligently from that like direct angle, but just theoretically, I would think that law enforcement. So if you're assigned to a case, I would think that you'd want to do the best you can on that case, and you'd want to, at the very least, prosecute if you feel there are prosecutable offenses, prosecute somebody to say, don't fucking waste our time as an investigation agency, and don't be assholes to other people because it's against the law. All right, so I would think that you'd probably want to arrest and prosecute a few people, because it is illegal to make bomb threats and that sort of thing. And
well, yes,
when you find those people, yeah, like that's illegal, and it's also a civil offense too, where you can be fined a large amount of money in addition to be put in jail. So yeah, okay, 13-year-old kid probably not going to be put in jail, but can
they put
his
Xbox in jail?
Can they fine his parents, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars and make him think about, like, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that stupid shit anymore.
Well, it's interesting with, so as a real thing, I mean, it's sad that you talk about it this way, but yeah, these are actually wasted resources that the FBI has to deal with. And I remember, so swatting, at least from the videos I've seen, they have, quote, investigated, because I've seen a lot of situations where the SWAT team comes into this building, and that's a lot of money wasted. It shows, though, thinking about it now, that they react to that very differently from after the fact talking about these threats. Because, I mean, swatting works. That's why it was a big deal, because if you threaten, or you say you put a threat out there, people will listen to it in that way, like to a specific address or something. Maybe this is a local law enforcement versus the FBI, but it's interesting that they tend to take that seriously, but in these cases they didn't. Which it's the same situation essentially. Although I don't actually know how law enforcement, I feel like I haven't heard about swatting much anymore. I don't know if that's because trolls stopped doing it, or
I think also
got smarter.
You know, yeah, they had professional development around, like, this is how you spot potential swatting incidences, and this is how you react to it, and blah blah blah.
Who is this 4chan? But interestingly enough, related to this, so, and it's fucking sad that we still talk about this guy, but one person who became, he essentially made a career starting with Gamergate, was Milo Yiannopoulos, who is an editor for Breitbart, all this other stuff. Not a great guy. He's part of the alt-right, and he was supportive of Gamergate, to be clear. Like, he was a figurehead for them, even though I don't know if he cared one way or another. But he has had speaking engagements at a number of universities, and there have been some serious protests. And it's interesting, so was it last night or this week, he was scheduled to talk at UC Berkeley, and protests broke out, but they got violent. There's a lot of different reports going out that there was a specific group of non-students, so non-Berkeley students, who came in to turn the protest violent, where, like, if you see it, it's a riot. Like, people are breaking windows. I think some fires were started. There were, like, flares thrown and stuff like that. And it's actually weird that the people targeted by Gamergate didn't have any serious things happen, as far as I know, even though there were speaking engagements by, like, Anita Sarkeesian that were shut down because of potential sniper threats. But Milo Yiannopoulos, who's part of Gamergate, these violent things have actually happened. Like, there was actually rioting this week, and it turned into a big thing, and then Trump responded to it. We won't get into all of it, but it's crazy how, I don't know, how different those situations are. And yeah, I'm gonna stop talking about that guy because I don't like him at all. So yeah, I don't know. Gamergate wasn't a good thing at all, but this is going to be a big thing going forward. I don't think this internet thing is going away.
This so, whole internet's thing?
Law enforcement, knowing what a troll is, like, it's funny to think that that is going to be an essential part of training in some circles in law enforcement. So the last quickfire topic I want to talk about is just really short. I was watching a video on Snapchat. I don't actually know. Was it an ad? It wasn't like a, it wasn't an actual snap that was taken, I think, or maybe it was a Discover Weekly or something. There was a little button in the corner though. And so, oh, I should start by saying I always have rotation lock on. I always have it in portrait mode.
Noob.
Why noob?
You're noob.
You never use it in any other direction. I always get annoyed when I turn my phone slightly and then it switches. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, I actually
there's like no situation I want it in landscape.
Like out of the one in a million times when it switches that I actually want it to. Because there's always that time when you go to like show somebody something and you go to switch it and you're like shaking it. And you're like, why would you fucking switch? And then you're like, oh, you look like an asshole because you have the rotation lock on. So it's like that extra four steps. Yeah. That's the only reason why I deal with the other 9,000 times it switches when I don't want to.
Well, it's so funny because otherwise you have a landscape picture in portrait mode, so it's literally tiny shit. Especially right now, I'm using an iPhone 5S, so it has a really small screen. But on Snapchat, they had a little button in the corner which just turned the picture into landscape mode, and it went full screen. That is amazing because I don't know why more apps don't have this, or if there's some kind of gesture. I wish there was something where you can like twist your fingers kind of on the screen and just switch it, like keep it
locked. Oh, you mean the gesture of switching the phone's orientation?
No, but seriously, because I personally find, and I feel like a lot of people I know have rotation lock. Josiah, you were saying
I always
this.
Keep it on.
So it's just annoying. I mean, YouTube does this where you can maximize it and it's full screen. But one funny thing, though, like with Snapchat, oftentimes you don't need it like that because people are videotaping portrait anyway.
Right.
So it actually fits. But in other cases, like whenever if I'm watching, if there's a video on a website and I'm looking in Chrome, if I have full screen, it's actually kind of hilarious. It just makes the rest of the screen black because it doesn't expand because it's already the width of the screen anyway. But I just wish more things did that because I think that's something to think about. Get on it, developers.
All right, let's move on to the change up, which is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commentist and clicking on the banner. In honor of Blade Runner, oh, is that your answer or is that my question?
Oh, in honor of Blade Runner, we're very well organized.
Well, so well rehearsed. I'll take the change.
Thank you, sir.
So Blade Runner.
I didn't write it.
Blade Runner's coming out with a sequel, but it's kind of like
it's actually a squeakquel.
It's not so much like, and this is the next
mouse
part of the story. It's several years after the original story, and it looks more like there might be a bit of fan service to call back to the original
anime
movie.
Fan service or regular?
Just regular type. Just regular type. But a little bit of fan service to call back to the original movie than rather like make it feel like an actual sequel where you're picking up where you left off, so to speak.
So Star Wars.
So maybe a little bit, and they both have Harrison Ford.
I'm going to assume that the director's cut is canon. Wait, have you seen Blade Runner?
No.
We'll have to watch it together, which means we'll never watch it.
It's kind of like we could do a whole show on what is the best movie that Rob's never seen.
Yeah, and never will.
That's one of the best movies you've never seen.
You know
seen,
what we should do is start a spinoff show where we watch Rob, myself, watch these movies like Mystery Science Theater.
It's like how, was it, the McElroys have, every year they do a Paul Blart Mall Cop. Yeah. It's like it's a yearly episode. It's like they always say they're not going to do it, and then they do another one. I don't even know what they do on it.
So the change-up, going back to this, Blade Runner and now Dune was announced. This is something that I've talked about for a long time. So Dune is my answer to this question. But the question is, what property would you like to see? What property would you like to see rebooted or relaunched or something? So Dune, if you don't know, is a very well-received science fiction story, thousands of years in the future with this galactic empire. And,
Spice.
And this planet called Dune, or Arrakis, is the real name, but it's lovingly called
Arrakis?
Dune.
Arrakis?
Arrakis.
Iraq? No. It's all about
it
Iraq
is a desert
war.
Planet. But,
it is. Well, Dune.
But, yeah, it's a water so, dune. So amazing story, and was it David Lynch did a movie version of mm-hmm. it that was pretty much panned back in the early 80s, and... And I've seen it several times, and there are some things that are admirable about it, but other things that are just ridiculous, and he changed a lot of the story and blah, blah, blah. So super excited to see that rebooted. What are you guys excited to see, or do you want to see rebooted or relaunched? Or
Farscape.
No, I don't know.
With a new cast, I'd be okay with that. I fucking hate the guy who played Crichton.
No.
I know you.
Ben Browder is a national hero.
I know you love him, but I hate him.
Sorry. Are they actually going to do for? Wasn't there something?
Don't why you got to do that, Sean?
Did I tell you, Danielle Riando? She's a gaming writer. She was saying Farscape is her favorite series of all time. But she's
we're gonna
never
have her on the show.
She's never watched like the final season because she just doesn't want it to end. She's rewatched
so
it multiple
good.
Times, but she just
she hasn't seen
it.
The miniseries, Sean.
Yeah, and isn't they did a? Oh yeah, the miniseries. Oh, they didn't do a movie at the end.
The
they did a miniseries.
Peacekeeper
right?
Wars. Yes.
So I think, you know,
I want rebooted.
They could reboot Spider-Man again.
I
mean, they've only done it twice.
I need to wait another 5 years before things of my childhood come back. I don't know what like Ninja
which
Turtles.
By the way, related to that, this is video games that I was reading about something where they're talking about Neo, and they're like it harkens back to old school video games like Ninja Gaiden Black. By the way, that was an Xbox original game. I'm like, oh fuck, these are old school games now.
Yeah,
shit,
y'all are old now.
Deal with
it. Wear those glasses.
What was the show on Nickelodeon with the aggro crowd?
Oh, I knew you were gonna say that.
They need to make that for adults, and I want to be on it because I want a piece of
so
the
so you
aggro
want a movie
crack.
That's a game show. No, oh, it'll be like Running Man.
He didn't say movie, did he?
No,
said
just
what property.
Anything you want rebooted.
So
it's fine.
Well,
what's that show?
Isn't that kind of what they did with this is a
American Gladiators
podcast. Oh, they did, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically
American
what it was.
Gladiators. Bring that back. Yeah.
I don't know. What else did we watch as kids? Like Ninja Turtles, they redid,
Doug.
But it sucked, right? Not Doug.
Ninja Turtles has been a pretty consistent.
Yeah, I guess
of all
true.
Things that I'm surprised about, Ninja Turtles has been rebooted or
I was completely unprepared for this
Transformers.
Question.
Definitely, they rebooted that a lot of times, and I don't think it did that well. Or sorry, it did well money-wise, but I don't think they're very good adaptations of it.
I don't know.
Power Rangers, they're rebooting now.
Like Power Rangers, they're rebooting it.
And they're,
I didn't like Power Rangers.
You didn't watch Power
Rangers? No, Paul likes Power Rangers.
We definitely did. We had the story already on the podcast where I played with other friends. Everybody wanted to be the Red Ranger until the Green Ranger came out.
What friends did you have that I was not a part of?
Okay, are we doxing people now? Yeah. No, people
really?
Lived on my street.
What? Well, I lived like two streets away. You left me out of shit as a child because I lived two streets away from
you.
You
don't know. It was neighborhoods.
Because he knew you would be the Red Ranger. So he's like, fuck Rob.
White people always taking it.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, and remember,
I wanted to be back Black Falcon.
This changeup is going nowhere. So I, too, do not have an answer.
All right, very good.
I gave like five.
So we'll go watch Dune together, and I'll tell you why it's amazing.
Okay. We'll have to read beforehand.
Yeah, that's not happening. We'll just go see the movie. All right, so today's main topic is phone plans. So Rob's girlfriend.
Yes, Rob does have a girlfriend.
She's a girl.
Yeah. 1 year.
1 year.
Happy 1 year.
Yeah. Can I shout out on the show? She never listens.
Let's be honest.
Nobody listens.
Yeah, I almost said some news and then like she's not going to listen, but I didn't want to say it anyway.
Yeah.
But so yeah, she is looking for a new phone. And so because of that, Rob being the tech support in that relationship, he's being asked about phone plans and what deal and what phone and blah, blah, blah. She is an iPhone user. So we started talking about this and figured we might as well make it part of the show.
By the way, when this stuff happens, the three of us, we all get super excited. We're like, finally, we're relevant. Somebody's asking
we
us
have
about smartphones.
Oh, yeah. I refer to you as my counsel. I hope you're okay with that.
Let's see what the counsel
says.
Yeah,
that's what I said. And we fully expect that we'll come to a conclusion and she will completely reject it outright because
yeah,
of something else.
Oh, yeah, she's not going to. I've already suggested, oh, hey, get off AT&T, but nope, that's happening. So she's going to stay on AT&T.
But talk about, yeah, why does she want to stay on AT&T? Which I think this
is
a real thing.
So she's always had AT&T. And like, same with my family. Like, we've had a family plan for a while.
Yeah, we
like,
all had it when it was singular.
So she has her, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's right. We had it with singular.
You guys are OGs.
Yeah, man, that's right. Anyway,
and they really care about our loyalty.
So she has, no. I think she has an iPhone 5 right now. So she's had it for a few years now. So she wants to get a
few years.
Yeah.
iPhone 5
maybe
is
it's
like 2012
then.
Or something?
No.
It's pretty old.
Yeah. Maybe it's 5S. She's had it for at least like 3 years or so. She's paying like it's close to $100 a month. It's not like she was grandfathered into her current plan. It's like, you know, not unlimited talk and text. I think I forget how many gigabytes she gets out of this plan.
And for our young listeners out there, there was a time when you had to pay for
per
a bundle
text message.
I was that guy who only had 200 texts a month, and I would write everybody a full paragraph.
And I would spam the shit out of you. Also, side story, when Sean got unlimited text when he started sending 8 million texts. Like, literally one word per text
it's
message.
Instant messaging. I don't care why it's any different. Everybody had unlimited text.
This is becoming a very big, like, flashback show for us. Anyway, so she's looking at the plan that I don't actually know. She screenshotted me. I don't know if this was something that they mailed to her or emailed to her directly, like as a way to get her off the grandfather plan.
I don't
really know how she got access to this.
Just saying.
Shut up. So you're such an ass. So anyway, because I was looking,
they mailed her a picture of them taking a picture of their screen.
It's just the girl from the commercial, and she's taking a picture of like the ad on the window. Okay. All right. Stop.
Get a serious hat on.
So she's currently playing like close to $100 for her plan right now.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. And
it's just her line?
Just hers.
That's crazy.
And so she was grandfathered into that. And so the one that she has access to or that she's looking at, or I don't know how she found it, is $60 a month for I think it's up to 3 gigs, but they also said that she uses like an average of 1.5. I doubt she ever hits 3. But anyway, they throttle you after 3. They don't charge you after that. So it's $60 after that. And then she wants to get a new phone also because she wants an upgrade from her janky old 3-year-old phone. Because who has 3-year-old phones? That's crazy. How old is your phone?
Shut up.
You're off the council.
It's an iPhone.
So what she wants to do is get an iPhone 7. And so she was asking like, oh, do they have upgrades still? Like they used to when you had the 2-year plans. And I said, I don't think they do that anymore. And they have like the, what is it? AT&T Next, which is 22
has something too. I forget. What
they
it's,
all
right.
did like, a Next
like,
Light
it's like $22 a month. So basically just you pay it over time. As basically all it is they took it out of the plans that they offer now. So that $20-$25 a month you were paying back in the day and didn't see is now they're just transparent about it and they call it a new thing. Right.
Yeah. They're slightly different. So like the old plan, they would amortize the cost of the phone into the plan. So like you said, you're paying an extra $20-$30, whatever it was. And at the end of 2 years, you'd own the phone because literally you paid for it. With the Next plan, you don't have to wait 2 years. I think some of them were like 14 months or 12 months or whatever. But basically, you're paying
extra. They have a 1 year and a 2 year plan for it.
So yeah, so you're paying a little extra to get a new phone sooner.
And to be clear, the Next plan came out when they were still fully subsidizing phones or whatever, you pay $200 or something.
Yeah,
And so it was a thing that it's like, oh, well, I don't want to upgrade every 2 years. I want to, by the way, if we have any non-American listeners, they're going to be so confused. Cause like, what is this? Like only America did this shit. So the next program now, though, it seems funnier because most carriers are basically bring your own phone. You can just buy a SIM card from them and
so
go.
I just did it out, and I'm pretty sure it would only cost about $550 over the 2 years for an iPhone 7. But you wouldn't own it, right? Or you would?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think you own it. I think you can trade it in.
I think you trade it in another phone. Towards the next.
So it's only $550. Trade, right? So you save $100, but you still have to trade it in.
Right.
Versus if you bought it outright,
like
you can
leasing,
resell it.
Right? Because you always have the new hot.
Right. So, but the downside is she doesn't want to pay $650 out of pocket, right?
Yeah.
So that's one piece of this. So the other piece is...
And we talked about this earlier. Another option that she can do is go through Apple directly, and they have a 0% financing thing.
Yeah, it's effectively...
So you'll do the same thing. You'll pay per month, so you don't have to pay it all at once. But you... And I thought they had something also where you could upgrade faster. Like, they had some kind of trading program with that. But
even, like, the upgrade programs we used to do on Singular or AT&T, whatever it was when we did it... You could always get them to trade into a new phone early. I don't know if you remember this. Like, once you hit 18 months, you could pretty much get it.
I'm sure they also think about
get
whether
the new
or not.
Razor, Sean.
So yeah. Anyway, keep going. But that's another option to go directly through Apple. And
yeah,
then
you're right.
To,
they do have a. It's something. Effectively their own leasing program now, where you get a new iPhone every year.
And it works great for Apple because honestly their resale value is great. People will totally buy last year's phone because some people want headphone jacks.
Apparently that's not an issue. So I was trying to push her towards a 6S because I was saying you can get it. Obviously my preference would be is buy something outright, and then with Apple and its value, you can pretty much upgrade every year for, you know, a couple $100 or something like that, right? She doesn't need a new phone every year, which is understandable.
Well, it's not really understandable, but we'll let it slide.
It's inexcusable. But
the council disagrees.
Yeah, the council. So what I think she should do is buy a 6S because I don't like the 7.
But
I am against this no headphone jack thing.
Phone, but
no, but it offends me in its presence.
I sense no headphone jack in my presence.
But so
there's only one headphone jack in my presence.
So
mine.
I said, why do you want an iPhone 7? She said, I said, don't you care about the headphone jack? So that was really the big argument I thought would get her. And she's like, yeah, I've never used headphones with my phone before. And
how does she listen to music?
What?
Where?
She doesn't use her phone to listen to music?
No. Well, no, because so at home she has Bluetooth speakers.
Okay.
At home she has Bluetooth speakers, and then at office she just has it on her computer.
Oh,
she doesn't because she has she has her own space, boss.
Huh. Yeah, I got no control over that. Sorry.
Does she use headphones on her?
I've never seen her use headphones before. Now that I think about it, this is a weird thing. I've just noticed this. It's been a year.
Messes up her hair.
But
no.
So this is one of those things where
I will never allow her to buy ear pods or whatever they're called.
AirPods.
AirBuds. AirBud. That's the dog. She can't buy the basketball dog, Sean. What are they called?
AirPods.
AirPods. That's what I said.
No, you said earbud. Then I said AirPod. And then you said earbud. And then you said AirBud.
Oh, God. That's the worst show we've ever done.
It's an important difference because AirPods are the wired ones. AirPods are the normal
wireless
ones.
Ones. I refuse.
Wireless ones are
AirPods. She will never own those.
They're actually pretty good.
I don't control her. She can do whatever she wants. But I will strongly dissuade her from purchasing.
He's trying to pretend like he has any power over her.
Yeah, I know.
She's like,
but anyway,
Rob's gonna have AirPods at the end of the month.
She wants the iPhone 7, right? And she said her argument was that she had friends that went to Iceland recently, and when they came back, the girl who had the iPhone 7 took way better pictures
than what?
Then her phone,
then the other friends who I assume had iPhone 6 or 6S, which I don't know. So what I want to do is that photo test that we did a while ago and find just iPhone 6S and 7 next to each other, because I guarantee you...
I'm sure it's all a placebo effect. It's the same thing, like, people joke about the fact that everybody's just going to put it on Facebook. Even, I don't know what resolution Instagram uses or how that works, but it's all going to be compressed anyway. And it's like, how many people know how to frame a shot, which makes all the difference. Colors and stuff
could make a difference.
But I don't think the 7 is that much better than the 6S.
That's my point.
Like, the 6S has a really good camera. That's the thing is, how many people really know that? Like, the portrait mode in the 7 Plus, that is a feature that is obvious. If you use it, it's cool. But most people, I mean, I could probably take pictures on this 5S, and there are some people who won't immediately know the difference, because admittedly, most people don't know much about photography. I don't either. I think one of the best things that the iPhone always did, it always took good pictures, but it was fast. Mm-hmm. And I think fast is more important in many ways than good. There are a lot of Android cameras. Now they've caught up in both ways, but for a while, a lot of Android camera phones were really good cameras. They were just so slow that it just made it difficult. But it also speaks to this idea, though, if people are convinced that it's better, this is a real selling point. Like, honestly, people aren't photographers. I really don't think most people are going to tell the difference at all.
Right.
But I thought the headphone jack would be a much bigger deal, and it seems like it's not.
What I'm confused about with the plan, though, right? So, like, the quote thing that emailed her or whatever that she got a link to said that the plan itself was 40. And then a phone was 20, but it said the phone was like off contract that you bring, right? So what does that mean? If you have the next plan, then you don't have to pay, like, that 23 for the next plan counts towards that 20? Is that what that means?
I
don't know. It's super.
And to be clear, like you said, her phone is currently off contract. This $20 fee was not part of AT&T Next. It wasn't like, oh, get a new phone, you paid.
No.
It was just an added fee, which is very confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's more expensive than... So the way AT&T family plans work now, actually most carriers do this, you buy a bucket of data and then you pay to add a device.
You and your buckets.
It's totally the way they do it. So it's like you buy 15 gigs of data and then you pay $10 to add an iPad, $15 for a phone. But they did... I remember when we did this a year or two ago, they did differentiate between phones that were on contract and phones that were off contract. You still obviously have to pay for a phone that's off contract, but it's more if it's on contract. And I wonder if that relates to it at all, like if they're doing the $40, the data bucket, and then the $20 is that phone fee. That probably is it. I think we just figured it out.
Can you explain that again?
I actually think this is a sensible way to go about it.
Yeah.
Since they know people have lots of devices, instead of buying, like, adding a line, you buy data. So say I get 10 gigs of data and then you add devices to it. So I have 10 gigs of data.
Right.
I want my iPad. Oh, okay. So that's interesting. So maybe it's like some single line thing. But before, this is with a family plan, you would get a bucket and you'd put data in it. So you buy the 15 gigs of data or whatever it is, and then you can add, for $15, you add a smartphone. More $15 more, you add another smartphone. $10 iPads are usually cheaper.
It all eats out of the bucket.
I would assume that this is basically, that's how it works. It's just with a single line plan, however they're doing it, with an individual plan, the bucket is $40 and then $20 is the added fee. If I remember correctly, the way it worked on a family plan is it was only $15 a month for an added device, for an added smartphone.
So if she's doing the next plan, though, does she still have to pay the 20 on top of that?
I think it's on top
of that. Right, so this is my point, is her switching away from her current plan saves her then $5, like almost nothing. Like, it's going to come out to close to $90 a month anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Monica, just go to Cricket.
Yeah, so Cricket, if you're a single user, right, you're just one person on your account, and you're not using crazy amounts of data, if you don't need a huge bucket of data... then probably Cricket is going to be the best, right? Because they're cheap. They are actually AT&T's network, so they have very good coverage. But the limitations are, and we've talked about this before, the limitations are they, at least for the last whatever years, they have not had launch day access to iPhones.
Yep.
So if she wanted to buy the brand new iPhone when it came out in September, October, she couldn't do that, at least historically. So
but could
far.
She not buy that through Apple instead?
No. So even the stuff through Apple, you still have to select a carrier.
Do you think it would... Oh, cause it still wouldn't work even if you choose AT&T. Like, would it work? I don't think that's how it works. Like, if you just put a Cricket SIM,
I don't think that would work. I think AT&T would actually charge you to unlock the phone.
Oh.
So this happened to me when I had T-Mobile. So I bought a phone outright through T-Mobile. And then I tried it. This was years ago. And I tried it for a couple days, and, like, the coverage just wasn't there years ago.
It was shit.
It was shit.
Wasn't tens. Basically. Shit.
So I asked them to unlock the phone, and I was going to go back to AT&T, and they wouldn't unlock the phone.
Mm.
I couldn't pay them extra or anything. They're like, you have to wait 90 days. I'm like, I'm not going to use the phone for 90 days because literally I can't fucking use the phone because it's shit. So I don't think that would be, like, technically...
Yeah.
Because they put every antenna in all the phones. They've been doing that for the last three years now. So it can technically work on any network, but I don't think the contracts would let you do that. So the other negatives about Cricket are that you're not necessarily getting unlimited data. It's unlimited... It's a cap with throttling.
Yeah.
Right? So you'll never be charged more for data, but they will eventually throttle your data and slow it
down.
And
AT&T does this as well. They've switched to throttling past roaming. Yeah.
And then the other thing is that Cricket's top speeds are actually throttled to begin with. It's like a top speed of whatever, 8 or...
I think it's 8 megabits.
Or something megabits per second, but that's still really fast.
Yeah, it's... I mean... And,
you know,
yeah.
If you're texting, if you're streaming video or whatever, it's fine. It's perfectly fine.
So, yeah, I think, but the funny thing with that, if you add it up though, so she would be paying $60 a month for this plan, and she gets 3 gigs built in, right. and unlimited everything else. With Cricket, if you do auto pay for $45 a month, you get 8 gigs of data. So 8 gigs is plenty for one person, in my opinion. That's not the cheapest plan. There is a cheaper plan, but that's a good middle.
I don't know how I could possibly use eight in my life, the way I live, like.
The way I live,
with all the short commute that I have, and I stream music both ways, and everything, I barely can get to 3.
I think the two ways people will use their data is if they're streaming video and if they're streaming music. And music, obviously, you have to consume a lot more music. But considering that there are high res screens now, if you're watching a 1080p YouTube video, that can eat up data quickly.
Yeah.
But so there's even cheaper plan where it's like 3 gigs or something like that. Yeah, I think the $30 a month plan is 3 gigs
for
of data.
Cricket?
Yeah, that's I one. Think I might be wrong.
I'm looking at it.
Okay. So there's 40, one
40 for 3.
But look,
but it's 35. Yeah.
So $35 a month, you
for
get
3 gigs. Yeah, so it's
versus $60 a month for 3 gigs as well.
Yeah, it's dirt cheap.
Yeah, that is actually
and like we said, Cricket is wholly owned by AT&T at this point. They're using AT&T's network. Cricket's a great deal, honestly. I think all carriers are now
we sponsored
month-to-month
by Cricket.
I just dressed up as a Cricket in this Cricket costume just for the hell of it.
I think the sneaker deal, though, this sleeper deal, not sneaker deal.
That's our other podcast, Sneakerheads.
I was going to say the sneaky deal or the sleeper deal, but the sneaker deal.
Sneaky sleeper sneaker deal.
Sneaky sleepers.
That's the name of our podcast, Sneaky Sneeper Sleekers.
So the sleeper deal is T-Mobile. It's the best bang for your buck if you have 4 people on the plan.
Yeah.
Because at 4 people, it basically comes down to $40 per person, and it's unlimited calling, texting, and data.
And
free roaming in Mexico.
It's funny about that because AT&T started doing free texting to a bunch of countries, and I'm pretty sure they specifically chose, like, India is one of them.
Yeah.
I assume because a lot of people, although it's funny because everybody has WhatsApp, but it's
text
so,
your cousins now. Talk about Cricket.
On Cricket! How can I make them think I'm talking about the sport when I'm really talking about the data plan? Have you seen Cricket lately? I don't know. So the problem with that is if for four lines is a lot. So basically, you have to have
Fuck
a family.
That. We got three people right here. Well, Monica she's getting on T-Mobile.
Four people.
That's what I want to bring up. I don't know if you guys remember, and this was really short-lived if I remember correctly, but Sprint had a friends and family plan, and that's what they tried to do. And in some ways, it makes sense. It's like, I mean, well, if you're willing to share money, like it's almost like having roommates where you split. But you would sign up and you would all, even if you're a friend, you could sign up to another person's plan. So you don't, I mean, you never technically had to be in the same family. They don't actually check.
Yeah, you can do it now.
But the thing is, I think there was always a feeling, I think, with the legality of it. I don't remember exactly. No, it's like the difference between signing a lease and
They don't check at all. They don't check at all.
No. What I mean is that the thing is, so there's some added benefit, like if you have roommates in an apartment, if there's one person who signs the lease and everybody pays them rent versus you all sign individual leases, if I remember correctly, the way the Sprint, the difference was you somehow you had individual contracts. So something you're separating the liability, like whatever, if somebody doesn't pay, I don't know exactly how it worked, but that was the idea.
I'll put it on my card and get the points. All that shit has got to be prepaid though, you guys. I'll cut you off.
I'll cut you.
Daddy Hills doesn't appreciate this.
What's that movie?
What about
Be Kind?
How
Rewind?
Does like actually going international work? I think you have to pay like per day or something like that. Is that? I think
they're different.
AT&T's was like T-Mobile, you pay $5 a day. And then you get access to your data anyway or something like that?
I mean, first of all, you have to have specific plans because I've seen situations where you go to a country and you don't turn on.
I'm looking at Project Fi right now because they do – I don't think it matters.
So Project Fi is Google's
So basically $50 – so you pay what you use, right? So if I use an average of 2.5 or something like that, I'm paying $50 per month.
Yeah, so the good thing about Fi is, like you said, it's so, and to be clear, if you don't use your full data allowance, they refund you, or I'm sure they just take it off your bill. So that's what makes the difference. However, if you use around your data limit, Project Fi isn't, it's a cheap plan, but it's not as good as like Cricket. Because, yeah, like you said, I think $50 a month gets you 2.5 gigs of data,
3 gigs.
Okay, 3 gigs of data. So if you use less than 3 gigs of data, it might be worth it.
But if you go over, then...
Yeah, and honestly, if you can get a 3 gig plan essentially at Cricket for $35, so Project Fi, and also Project Fi, it's also a technological, like a technical feat of what they're trying to do, where it's trying to use a mix of Wi-Fi networks and cellular networks. Yeah. It's using Sprint, T-Mobile, and Wi-Fi, and using all that.
It's only available on certain phones still, right?
Yeah. And yeah, even Nexus devices, like only the 6P, the Pixel, and like only a couple of them.
So T-Mobile, they just started this, so I haven't been affected by it. And most months I won't be affected by it. But I think like they will give you up to $10 back if you don't use a certain amount of data. So so that's that.
Which one is that?
T-Mobile, their one plan. And so they have unlimited calls and texts to Mexico and Canada, just normal, and then unlimited data and text across 140 countries. That's just part of the plan. And then through them you can like get Wi-Fi on planes and stuff like that.
So yeah, funny how many extra cost, services but that people like AT&T has a lot of free hotspots, and it's funny because texting seems like a good bonus, like free to these other countries, but outside of America, basically everybody uses WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or even iMessage. Like if you're texting another American that doesn't use WhatsApp, if they're in another country, if they have an iPhone, you can just text on iMessage and it's totally fine.
Well, but I mean, this is data too, unlimited data
in
those countries as well.
Okay,
so
that's cool.
I'm pretty sure they throttle it to 3G speeds. Because that's their
4G isn't even everywhere anyway.
Yeah,
so.
but still, that's pretty good. 140 countries, you don't have to call ahead and say, hey, I'm going to be in there for these 2 weeks. You just fucking take your phone and it works.
So everybody signed up for T-Mobile?
Yeah.
Jean Legere, her number one fan.
I am wearing my pink, I don't know, underwear.
Something. Right, you're wearing pink motorcycle pants?
Yeah.
Because it's like that. Well, yeah, she was on a motorcycle. She drove real fast.
All right.
That, we need to stop.
That is going to do it for this week's episode of The Online.
Our riveting episode about phone plans.
Thank you so much for listening.
Monica's probably not even going to listen to this.
She will listen to this.
With the headphone jack she has currently that she won't in the future.
On the iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Store, you can find us on YouTube by searching for The Commentist. Please share us with your friends. You can leave us comments or submit topics
or questions to us directly by going to the unwind.audio. Also, we had that random thing about the darknet. We got to talk about the darknet.
Hmm?
We had a comment asking to talk about the darknet. Okay, we got to talk about the darknet. Go to the unwind.audio and you can see us. Go to the commentist. You can see all our great shows such as Roll the Hit, Beard of Vegans, Sky on Fire, and maybe more to come.
Cool.
See you next week.
Air Bud, that's the dog.